Well, my favorite children's stories are the Chronicles of Narnia, and they are written by C.S. Lewis, and so he calls them children's stories. I didn't read them till I got to college, and I didn't feel like I was, you know, going back and reading Dr. Seuss exactly. It kept my interest at that age. They are good stories, and they are really very good illustrations. He has a pretty clear metaphor of the Christian life, and he has a character in there that is the Christ character, in this place called Narnia, and the name of that character is Aslan. He is a lion, and he is God come to that place. And so one of the favorite of those series is called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. There's been a movie made of that, and in it there is a young boy named Eustace who gets swept along with the four main characters, who are four kids who are siblings, two brothers and two sisters. And this young boy, Eustace, is kind of a pain, and they end up kind of calling him useless behind his back sometimes. And in the story, Eustace is struggling with himself, and he steals a gold band. He puts it on his arm, and at some point, after he steals this thing, he becomes a dragon. It turns him into a dragon. And he has now this armband on him. I mean, he used to be just a little boy, and now he's a large dragon. And this thing is very tight, and it hurts a lot. On what used to be his hand is now one of his dragon feet. And so one night, finally, in the midst of his pain and frustration, Eustace encounters Aslan the lion. And Aslan tells him, "You must follow me to this high mountain well where there are waters that will heal you." Eustace desperately longs for relief for his aching foot in these waters. And so he comes with Aslan to this place. And Aslan says, "Before we can heal you, you must undress first." And Eustace thought to himself, "I'm a dragon now. This is silly. I don't have clothes. I have scales and skin, and I cast my skin off like a snake does." And so Eustace tries to undress himself. He begins to scrape the scales away. And they come off, and soon he's taken off all of his skin, but he puts his foot in the water, and he sees that it's just as rough and scaly as it was before. And so he continues scratching at the second dragon skin, and he realizes that there's another skin underneath that even. And so Eustace tells the story later on to Edmund, one of the four that go to Narnia. And he describes it this way. He says, "Then the lion said," but I don't know if it spoke, he said, you'll have to let me undress you. In other words, the lion said, "You have to let me scrape this skin off of you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I just lay down flat on my back and let him do it." He said, "The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was because it was just the sort of pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. You know, if you've ever picked the scab off of a sore place, it hurts terribly, but it is such fun to see it coming away." These are boys talking to each other. Edmund said, "I know exactly what you mean." "Well," Eustace continued, "he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I had done it myself the other three times, only when I did it, it didn't really hurt. And this time it hurt. And there it was, that dragon skin, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then the lion caught hold of me. He caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender underneath now that I had no skin on. And he threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. And after that, it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm, and then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again. See, that is a great picture, folks. You and I have no idea how deep and how integrated into our being our selfishness and our human nature, our sin nature is. And we cannot remove it, no matter how hard we try. We know that we need to be better, and so often we try to be good, but we cannot get where we need to be. And where we need to be is this. We need to be someone else. We need to be a new man, a new woman. And so Christ makes us this new man or this new woman. There is the truth, there is the immediate truth that we are saved by faith. Saved right now. God does this for us. And if you want to put it back into this story, Eustace followed Aslan and laid down and let him do his work. When he did that, when he said, "Yes, I will follow you, and yes, I will let you do that," he was already saved in the same sense that we are saved. But then there is the long-term truth of it. We have to let him help us put off our old self. And that is the hard bit. And he, in the meantime, as he is tearing off the old, he is helping us put on the new. So I hope that some of you still have your outline of our series here, from Colossians. I want to locate you on the map, if you will, just for a minute. Paul talks about in the first chapter, you are doing better than you think. And the reason is because Christ is better than you thought. We talked last week about the fact that his gospel is all that you need. So, live like the new person that Christ has made you. And next week we're going to add on to that, not only do that, but do it with the actual people he has placed in your life. So today, let's focus down on living like the new person that Christ has made us. How do you do that? Paul gives us four very distinct steps. Turn back in the text, if you would, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You hide your soul in the life of Christ. You decide to do it. You decide to follow the lion up to the well and let him take your old self off. Paul puts it this way. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Now, he told us before that Jesus is the firstborn of creation and the firstborn from the dead. Remember that? But now he says, in the past tense, you have been raised. We expect to be raised from the dead in the future, but he's saying it's already a done deal. You have been raised with Christ, and since that has happened already, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So he said, set your hearts and set your minds on things above. Why? Verse 3, because you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's an amazing thing. And then he finishes out, he says, and then when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So that's the first thing, is just say yes. Say yes. Hearts and minds set on Christ. I am with you, Lord. I'm going with you to this place you're taking me. And Paul says, he is your life. That's the center heart bit. It's not just a psychological thing where you screw up your determination? Nope. This is a change. You are becoming a new person. You're saying yes to God. You're saying, yes, I accept your Messiah, your Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. It starts there. Eustace, in the story, decided that he didn't want to be a dragon any longer. And so he asked the lion to make him new. And he figured out that his own efforts at it were not going to get him where he needed to be. And so it comes to us, this simple thing. Let the Lion of Judah, as he is called in this realm, save you. That's where it starts. That's where the journey begins. That's where the wardrobe change begins. What's the trajectory? The trajectory, I can't even say it this morning, is that later on, when Christ comes, you and I will be revealed. People will see the hidden part. Every relationship, and especially close relationships, friendships, marriages, have an inside piece, an intimate place that is hidden. This isn't hidden as in secret knowledge. This is a hidden place that there's a relationship between you and the Lord that only you and He know about. Just like there is a relationship between you and your wife or your husband, if you are married, that you know about that. And on that day, all that will be revealed. You will be seen for who you are. You will be one of His, and all the world will see it plain as day. When the firstborn of creation and the firstborn from the dead says to you, well done. When that person calls you brother or sister, embraces you, it will be revealed for all to see. And so all the things that were in the center of that relationship and the center of who you are, your new worldview, looking at things through Jesus' eyes, keeping your hearts and your minds above, every person that's in front of me, seeing them through Christ's eyes. What does this really mean? Not just how do I survive this day, but no, what is God doing here? That's really what it means to keep our minds and our hearts focused above. Where does it start? It starts with the dragon skin. That's the hard bit. So let's look down again, verses 5 through 11. You've got to kill the stuff that's killing you. Let's read through it again slowly. He uses no subtle language here. He says, put to death, kill, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. All that animal stuff that you're made of, and all the wrong places it takes you, you've got to get rid of that, just like the dragon skin. Sexual immorality. It doesn't say desires. Desires are part of being a human being. But going outside the boundaries, desiring that which you cannot have, and taking that which you cannot have, you should not have, put that to death. Impurity, lust. Lust is using someone else, taking from someone else to satisfy yourself, whether that some other self is even present with you. That's what pornography is about. It's filling your desires by taking from someone else. He goes on, his list goes on. Evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. That is America's idolatry. We are a consumer society. We want more stuff. We're filling our need with our stuff. And that is worshiping idols, Paul says. And then he makes this very strong statement. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. He's not having it. He didn't make us for this. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways. And we're all thinking, and maybe sometimes I'm kind of still walking in these ways. Paul knows this. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, in your old self, but you were a new man, you were a new woman. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. And then he gets really personal. I mean, most of the stuff on the other list, could be okay with maybe. Anger. Ugh. Rage. Malice. Slander. Oy, 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 oy. He's getting close to home now. He puts slander on the same level of wickedness with sexual immorality. What you say and what you do in this life, however much of a dragon you are, yeah, it's all the same. It is sin in God's eyes. And filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. And in the context of C.S. Lewis's story, we rightly can translate, since you have taken off your dragon skin. Okay? That's what he's talking about. And you're taking off your old self with its practices, and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. He's just bringing you back to where he started with us, being made again in his image. And in this place, Paul says, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He's not saying that those distinctions don't exist. He's saying they don't make any difference to God. There's no special ticket you can have and say, well, at least I got this credit thing. I've got a special coupon with God, so I have to do less stuff, you know, to impress God. It's not how it works at all. We all come the same. We are Adam and Eve's children. And so we come as sinners, living under the cloud of sin and death. We come needing Christ in our life. And this stuff, this dragon skin, it's actual stuff. Dragon skin is very handy. It's got scales. It protects you. It's about real attitudes that we have in this life. It's about real thoughts we have about other people. It's about real actions, real words that we speak to one another. It's about our lust, our willingness to use someone else to get what we want, our greed, our willingness to take something that doesn't belong to us and not be grateful for what God has given us. It's our angry, lying speech. That's our dragon skin. And we have perfected these things over the years, some of us. They work for us. You don't go telling people the truth. You don't want them knowing that. Business just works better if everybody lies a little bit, right? It's true. These things work for us. They get us what we want in life. But they don't match with a soul that is hidden in Christ. It just doesn't work anymore. Have you committed? Will you commit to allowing the Lion of Judah to tear that old self off of you, now that you are hidden in him? I can get by in this life, and you can get by in this life without anger. You can get by without slandering anyone. You'll be fine. You just don't need those tools in your kit anymore. You don't need that kind of protection. You don't need sexual immorality for whatever purpose you do those things. I won't be able to fully put on my new life while the old stuff remains in place. Or put another way, once I take on my new life, there's no place for the old. We did this Wednesday in Awana. This is the old dragon skin. If I go around, if I'm a new person in Christ, if I'm wearing this coat called Christ and my coat called love, which we're going to read about in the next section, this coat on top of all that just really doesn't fit anymore. There's no place for it. I don't need it. It's not going to work, and God won't let me wear it either. I got to choose. what coat I'm going to wear. The dragon skin has to go. Once you take it off, leave it off. And believe me, it's a lifelong process, taking it off. But the last thing is this, verses 12 through 17. You're hidden in Christ. You've allowed Him to take that old self off. Now you put on the life of Jesus. Let's look at the text again. It speaks so clearly for itself. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Now, those are things that are worth something in the kingdom of heaven. Those are silver and gold in God's kingdom. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive you? He forgave all your sins and He removed them from you as far as the east is from the west. He took the blood stains and made them white as snow. And He's saying, that's what I want you to do for one another. Woo. I like it when it's coming my way, but giving out that kind of stuff, that's expensive. Do I have enough forgiveness to give out? Yes, I do. Yes, we do. And then He says in verse 14, over all these virtues, put on love. It's like your outer coat. It's a coat that everyone can see. Over all these virtues, you know, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, put on love, which binds all of the rest of them together in unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And what does that make us? Thankful people. He says, and be thankful. Here's what it works out to. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, just like we were doing earlier today. Isn't that great? That's what we're called to do. We're teaching. Remember, He starts with heart and head. Feelings come later. If you just come to some event to get feeling a certain way, you're missing the point. The point is that center place where your life is hidden with Christ. Finally, this, He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's where it comes back to the center. So it's painful at first because that dragon skin protected you, but it's got to go. People were afraid to hurt you because they knew you were a dragon. Watch out for him, watch out for her. But now the real you in Christ is out for all the world to see. And it makes you vulnerable. People know that you won't hurt them anymore. They should know that. That should be a change. And you're going to go beyond that. You're going to do better than not hurting people. They should know that they should see that coat called love that you wear. This person can help me. This person can heal me. This person will love me. You and I have to trust the Lion of Judah for what we need. Now, the final question I will leave you with today is, do you trust what the Lion of Judah wants for you? Do you trust Him enough to take that old protective coating off and to put His coat called love onto you? Let me read again the passage from Hosea as we close. And this is God's heart for His people. It always has been. This is hundreds of years before Christ. This is spoken to the nation of Israel, to whom it is still spoken. And we have the privilege as followers of Jesus to be grafted in as wild olive branches to that rich olive tree that God has brought to life. We get to take in that sap from the blessing that He gave to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. We get to be part of that blessing. Here's how God feels about his people. I will heal their waywardness, and I will love them freely, because my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the morning dew to Israel, and he will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots, and his young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. You see, if you're wearing that coat called love, people will come to you, and they will seek shade under your branches, as it were, if I can use that metaphor. They'll find protection in you because they can trust you. Yes, people will dwell again in his shade, and they will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. My people's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. That's the kind of passion that God has for his people. That's what he wants for you. Will you trust the Lion of Judah to make you a new person in him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us new life. Thank you for taking us to a place we could not go ourselves. Thank you for a place that has eternal consequences, that we're with you forever. As you sit at the right hand of the Father, when you appear before all the world, we will be part of that. We will be recognizable as yours. Lord, help us this week as we hide our soul in with you, and as we allow you to peel our old self off and allow you to put your new self on us, a coat called love, as we go out into the world. Bless the world through us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.